Pastors, elders, deacons, deaconesses, does the Bible teach all of this? Learn more today on Change by Grace. Welcome to Change by Grace. I'm Pastor Steve Herford. Today we're beginning a live web broadcast featuring interviews and special topics pertaining to pastors and churches. Once a week, we will share with you thoughts on these issues. Here in the studio with me is my co-pastor of Change by Grace Community Church, Chip Merkel. Well, we want to welcome you today to a special broadcast. This is something new that we're starting, and we're going to be doing this hopefully till Jesus comes every Monday at 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Pastor Chip and myself will be sitting down and dealing with different topics pertaining to the church. And since this is our first live broadcast and the first time that we've shared together on this program, I want to take a moment to introduce Pastor Chip Merkel and just ask him to share a little bit about himself and share how he came to Christ.
Good afternoon. How's everybody doing out there that's listening? What an opportunity this is to come before you with the vehicles God has given us to spread His Word and just to kind of talk about some topics that really aren't spoken of much in the church system. I'm 36 years old. I'm the father of six children. My wife is Natalie, and we've been married for 15 years, and it's just been an awesome thing. I'm a typical person that has been raised in the Bible Belt, Jacksonville, Florida, and grew up going to church the majority of my life, from birth until about the years of 17 or 18 years old until I went into the military. But I just grew up going to church and just seeing the system of the church kind of just always something in me. Until God chose to raise me from my depravity, I really just pretty much prayed prayers all my life. And Jesus didn't commit himself to me because I knew from the scripture that he knew my heart, and my heart wasn't the desire to die to self. So I pretty much was lost the entire time that I was in these churches. But the thing that really struck me as different was the fact of the system of the church. My parents were involved heavily in the church. Now my father passed away. My mom is just not involved in church, so a lot can be spoken about there. Comments were made that we went to church for the kids. So basically a system of all the wrong reasons to be involved with church, not ready to die to self, to be saved, to live for Christ. But yet the system of the church has always just seemed to me corrupt. And I don't mean churches in general, but I mean in America. I guess I am speaking in general because I've been to churches my whole life, and until 10 years ago when Christ opened my eyes and revealed to me my depravity and saved me from myself, I desired his word in a way that had just been so simple and pure. Just seeing that, you know, I mean, for instance, we have dictatorship churches. We have one man that's in charge, or so it seems to be, of the whole church. You have one pastor. Selected group of deacons, and then you have the congregations voting on things and all this. And it always just struck me as odd because many of the people I knew behind the scenes, their life didn't line up to what it should have been to be in some of these positions. And, you know, I even went to a church that had the term deacon pastors, and myself being deceived in that area just because looking for that authority in the church to be able to confront sin and to be able to do the things with the label that God gives his men in the church that upholds the government of the church, not for respect for my big head, but just respect for the fact that when you carry the title of elder, it's something to be worthy of double honor because you've met a biblical requirement to hold that position. And it's not to boast of, it's not to be proud of, but it's something that God has called these men to be. So I even went to a church that had deacon pastors. That kind of messed with my mind a little bit. And just a long story short, I just have always desired for the truth of God's Word, the simplicity of it. God's Word saying what it means and not trying to distort it into what I wanted it to say. And as we look at church structure, we see that God's church should be structured on a plurality of leaders called elders. And that is how Steve and I met. I was a singer in a Christian band for about 7 years. I came to Christ and just had this zeal to want to do it right. I was tired of being fake. I was tired of seeing people fall away from Christ. And that's a whole other topic, the easy believism. And we have people that think they're saved and they're not. This brought question to my mind. I'm like, how can this be when we have such a plethora of error within the body of the church? And I'm going to tell you, when a football team is not winning games, who gets blamed? It's the coach. So when churches aren't structured to the way that God has designed them to structure and they fall apart, or they may look like they're staying together from the outside, but once you become a member on the inside, you see that it's a falling apart establishment, you know, with no accountability, things like that. It's just like hard to understand. I mean, you know what I mean, Steve?
Most definitely. So, Chip, at Changed by Grace, you're a co-pastor.
Yes.
What does that mean for those that are listening?
Well, I mean, just what it says. It's co, alongside of. I mean, we are, as you know, structured with a plurality of leaders, elders. I mean, we're not a deacon-led church. You know, deacon is diakonos, which just means servant, to wait tables. I mean, guys, I didn't write the book. God did. And if this is what he wants his church to be structured like, this is how we should structure it. So I am not the pastor of Change by Grace. I am one of six men that do not have disagreements in the sense of making decisions, but we have unity because we don't come to a decision unless it's unified. We're a church where we don't allow the congregation to vote. They're not called to the ministry. I mean, right in 1 Timothy chapters 3, verse 1 is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, bishop, elder, pastor, teacher, it is a fine work he desires to do. And the congregation is not called to the work of the ministry. That is why you have a sheep and a shepherd. You don't see a lamb carrying a staff and the shepherd on his hands and knees eating the grass.
And it's sad in churches today that there are many people that seem to want to take that responsibility in all of the affairs of the church, where you have, as you mentioned earlier, congregational voting on every single issue of the church. We're not saying by elder rule that the congregation doesn't have any kind of input on things, but as we have practiced here at Change by Grace, that God has entrusted the leadership to qualified men, according to 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1, whom he has set apart to oversee the church. It's probably good that we just, for our listeners, back up and do a definition of the term elder. We could start right here in Acts chapter 20, because in Acts 20 we see the term used. We see also other terms used that are used of the same individual or the group of men. It says in Acts 20 and verse 17, Luke is writing, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and he called for the elders of the church. And so at this point, he is addressing the elders of the church at this point. And when you get down to verse 28, he says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And here we're seeing in verse 17 that they're called elders. We're told that they are overseers in verse 28. We are told that they shepherd the church of God. That's the Greek word poimen, which means to pastor. We're also being told that it's the Holy Spirit that made them this. And yet, in today's church, you're not really seeing this. In fact, you're seeing the absence of it. Even there are some denominations, and as we were talking before we started a broadcast today, talking about cults that will even use the term elder.
I mean, yeah, we've got, Jehovah's Witnesses that will send an 18 to 20-year-old young man to your door, and he'll tell you that he's an elder within his church. And it's sad that they're using a biblical term in a false religious system.
Exactly. And just like Mormons are the same way, where they have elders, and they'll use the plurality.
Well, what I don't understand is I'm not a seminary-taught godly man. I was called to this position by God. I desire leadership. I can't go anywhere and not lead. I can't go anywhere and not confront sin. Like Paul sitting there after a long journey and then confronts sin on the idol worship. He just can't stop confronting sin, not because he's perfect, not because he's some self-righteous man, but because he is blameless beyond
absolutely
reproach.
And you brought up a question about seminary trained. Do you think that every pastor in a church or every elder in a church is to be seminary trained?
No, I'm not anti-seminary. But I know that we have perverted. Here's what I don't understand. Why is it that we just can't govern our churches like the Bible says to do it? Men always want to put a twist on things and make it how they think that they're helping God. Now, I'm not seminaried. I don't have a scholarship. But I know that I've been under some good godly men with good biblical teachings. I read a lot of John MacArthur, Warren Wiersbe, John Piper. I could continue. Charles Spurgeon, men like this. But we all,
we're definitely saying not without training.
Right. No, definitely
not,
with training.
Quote, seminary label or a THB or
yes,
PhD
and many people won't even have you speak at their church unless you have this degree.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry, but I have not found in the Bible where they're...
Well, that's even like the apostles. They said of them that they were unlearned men, but when they heard them, they knew that they had been with Jesus. So that pretty much changed their perception, at least from that aspect.
And so many times in churches, we're looking for leaders. And this is my belief, my passion, that leaders will jump up from the crowd. You won't have to look or make leaders. You don't make leaders. God makes leaders, and God gives us the discernment, and if you are truly involved with your flock, you'll see who your leaders are through the fruit of their life.
And just like you started earlier, you said godly. I mean, I think it starts right there with being a godly man. You might not be, quote, seminary trained, but you are a godly man, and God has placed within our fellowship six godly men to lead this church.
Well, you can look in what is the requirements of an elder. I mean, we can turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, but let me just stay right here in Deuteronomy 1, 9 through 18. This was indicating that these men were charged with the responsibility of judging the people. God has always set a leader to judge the people. God is going to judge us for what we have done on this earth for Him. He's going to judge the lost. Why would God all of a sudden stop sending people to judge His people? If anything that people need to be reading now, it's the prophets. Because our churches are in such a sickening state that they perverted. You don't have the right to judge me. Well, let me tell you something. In all boasting of what Jesus Christ has done for these godly leaders called elders, He has placed them in the positions of being beyond reproach. That their children are ruled by them. That their families are in order. You know what? If anybody has a right to come up to say anything to somebody, it's one of these men that God has placed, and they've met the biblical requirements. So yeah, you know what? Elders do have the right to judge their flock. If a sheep has a disease, and the shepherd goes up and says, you know, I'm going to treat this disease, and the sheep says, that's a bad idea. They don't say that. You know what? They're submissive to their shepherd. The sad thing is we have congregations that don't want to submit to the godly authority which is placed there. But the sad thing is many of the men that are in that position aren't godly. They haven't been placed there by God. They right. put themselves there. And pastors go throughout the United States looking for so-called schooled, educated businessmen. And that sickens my stomach. And I want to hurl is what that does. Because just like David. They didn't want to think David was the man. They wanted to go out and look at all his brothers and all these people when it was David that was the man God had clearly sent. We've got pastors on this big church bandwagon that are going looking for college-educated men, and I don't remember God calling any Donald Trumps to follow him.
Yeah, they need to be looking for godly, God-qualified men, those that the Holy Spirit has placed in His church. We're talking right now about the subject of elders in the church, and there are many questions that are come up with this whole subject, especially if you're in a church that doesn't have elders. You have just one pastor, and then you have an assistant pastor, and you have a music, a minister of music, and you have a lot of other people doing things. Chip, how do you think that that's affected the church in terms of, I remember a couple years back I was sitting in a meeting to where there were a bunch of pastors and associational leaders. This is at the time when we were a Southern Baptist church. And I remember hearing one of the topics that talking about division meetings. I call them division meetings because that's what happens when you have congregations leading everything. It just turns into one big mess.
Right on.
And they were talking about how can we attack this problem and how can we stop having all these division meetings. And I remember raising my hand and I said, you know, listen, we don't have this problem in our church. And one of the reasons why we don't is because we require a unanimous vote on what we're doing. And, of course, they laughed because they couldn't understand that, because how can you get two people to agree on anything? But yet, like we've started out talking, is that that we strive for to be unanimous in our decision making. And again, we don't put the business aspect to the people. We leave that to the oversight of the leaders that God has placed into the church. And within that body of elders, within that body of leaders that lead the church, we strive for unity. It's our part to know what the mind of the Spirit is as we lead this church. And if there is one person, one of the men in our group that doesn't really feel like that this is the direction we should be going in, we will stop and give them a chance to actually come back to us and convince us otherwise. And we really seek for humility on that aspect as well. But just speaking on this issue, what are some of your thoughts about that?
Well, I don't mean to sound uneducated, but I only have a 12th grade education, Steve, and you're going to have to simplify that question for me. No, just simplify what you're really asking me. What?
Well, again, we've all seen in the church how these meetings are run and how for a church that doesn't have elders,
okay, I get it,
and going in that direction, but yet they only have one pastor.
Well, from some of the meetings that I've been in, not holding any position in the church, but God had opened opportunity for me to be in some of these meetings. And then the church I was in, which was a leadership of deacon pastors, we used to sit there, and it was just unbelievable how, like you said, there's much division there. There's more focus on growth by numbers and stuff, and more than there is biblical accountability, much like confronting sin. And I mean, I don't know if I've turned the topic over to that, but...
Well, that's okay, because that actually raises another question about accountability, because, again, that is something that's absent in the church. How would you think, just by the presence of having elders in the church, that would open up more of a chance of accountability?
Well, for one, if you're in a meeting and it's a deacons-led church, they don't meet the biblical requirement to make those decisions because the word is being perverted. Diakonos means to serve. There we get into your deaconesses. I mean, what do we call the lady that is keeping our books? Does she not serve? Right. What do we call the women that are setting the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper for us? Are they not serving? So we've raised this position of deacon to an authoritative position when it holds no authority.
Exactly.
Yet it has requirements. So therefore, if you've got a group of men that are holding the label as deacon and they're making elder decisions, you're going to have scrambled eggs.
Sure.
Because many of them men aren't called to that position. I've been in some of the, when I was a deacon pastor, I just say that I would like someone to define that for me. I was involved in that for a couple of years and should have removed myself long before I did. But we would sit in times where they would be discussing how to get the church to grow and what do we do to get more people in the church? What do we do? And I just suggested taping $20 bills to the seat, that if you told everybody there was a $20 bill under each seat, you were going to have people come to your church. And then I said, you know, they were wanting to build a building, and that was like, we got to get this money. We're spending $5,000 on pumping stuff out to tell people about our building process. And I just made the recommendation, let's take a shotgun in the middle of the service and stick it to everybody's head and tell them to give us all their money. We'll have the money we need. Or we can just step back and confront the sin that's in our church first. We can deal with the lack of biblical teaching that's going on within some of the churches and deal with these things first with a plurality of elders that are around the table agreeing on decisions made rather than the structure is fallen. I mean, you don't have three head coaches on a football team. You should, I mean, but you do have the defensive end coach, the
offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I'm not a big football fan. I'm a surfer, so that'll answer some of your questions on the slur. But anyway, my mind just goes rampant with this topic because of the fact that the church doesn't lead the church. God leads the church. Christ is the head of the church.
And like you said, that's where we perverted it, because the Bible says that Christ is the head of the church. And we all agree with that, whether we have elders or whether we have one pastor in the church and we have deacons and boards of deacons and so forth. Everybody will agree that Christ is the head of the church. The amazing thing is that we have more information in the Bible about elders than we do about deacons. In fact, all we have is 1 Timothy 3. To tell us anything about deacons. And we're not really sure if Acts chapter 6, if they were actually deacons. But then again, if they were, again, we're limited And like you said,
well,
the word...
Like deacons' wives. You know, there's something right. in verse 12 of chapter 2 of 1 Timothy. You know, the gynikos is the word for women. And then, but in 1 Timothy chapter 3, you have likewise deacons' wives. Likewise, my New American Translation says women. So therefore, we go right back to the secretary. She is serving the church. She's doing what the word diakonos means.
Now, you and I had just recently where being involved in counseling someone outside the church, and we gave them some little bit of information about since this man's wife is playing piano in a church, and we inserted some information about those who are serving. How do you deal with those that are ministers of music, those who are playing piano, those who are singing in the choir? Shouldn't they at least meet the qualifications of a deacon?
Well, I know that at our church we require that. You know, you say, well, you could have breakdown with any teacher or they could teach what they want. Not if you truly have requirements that are biblical and not, I went to a church, you know, they say don't attend movies, don't do this, don't do that, which are all great things in and of themselves, but yet those are man-made things.
Right.
I mean, you know, Christ, let's meet the biblical requirements before you give me what your dress requirements and your code for all that are. And then if these men and women are meeting the biblical requirements of these positions, you're not going to have the breakdown that you would have if they're just, you know, dressing right, looking the part, not going to movies. You know, well, you can't have these positions without, again, we go right into confrontation of sin, church discipline. There's not, you know, we always have, we all know those churches where the men looked the part, they were the deacons, they were the pastors, and they've all fallen. But then you have some men that don't look the part. They fit
well,
the
requirements. Actually, you even have where churches agree on deacons, and they'll want just to keep that on men. And usually what you have, in at least in the smaller churches, where there's not very many men serving, and their wives are the ones doing the serving while their husbands are at home.
It's sad we have what I would call too many redneck preachers that think because a woman is serving, and if you were to label her a deaconess, that it's giving her authority. No, it's not.
Right.
She's waiting tables, just like what the men are doing.
And that's why we have to re-educate the church about these issues. I remember from being in a Southern Baptist church and teaching on the subject of women deacons, and I remember, you know, just people really getting upset about that. And I remember doing a conference, a leadership conference at a church in South Carolina, and addressing the same issue. And one of the things that I said, that because you have elevated the office of deacon to that of an elder, no way would I support having women deacons, because it totally confuses the issue.
And again, we're not willing to die on that hill, because where we live here, and I hate to say that the South versus the North, but it is very different. Churches
Definitely.
Are different in California. You mentioned women. I mean, the Bible teaches against women preaching.
Amen.
The Bible teaches against women teaching men, so we stand for that. But the Bible doesn't teach against women serving in the church with the label deacon, because deacon, again, diakonos means servant, a waiter of tables. Because man has perverted this, are we not to take it back to the original road God walked on? But is that a fight we're willing to fight right now in our church? No, it's not. But I tell you what, we're not scared to label what God has labeled.
And plus, too, because we're a new church, it's easier for us to address an issue like this, because we don't have something in our background as a church that we're having to change.
Right.
We don't have...
I mean, as you know, we have elders with tattoos.
Yeah.
I mean, that in itself blows people's mind. There you go, that whole look, and then there's a whole other topic.
Right, definitely.
You know, it's like I think if people saw some of the people in our church that were in, they would freak out. It just wouldn't be the traditional look that you have. But you know what? We don't go on the look. We go on the inside of the cup.
Definitely.
And when we've seen the outside of the cup clean up, it's like, woo, I'm not going to deny any man the position of leadership that meets the requirements biblically and has been examined thoroughly. I'm not going to do that, because I'm not going to get in the way of God. You know, people say, I'm leaving the church, and the statement is, well, we don't want to keep you where God's trying to get rid of you. I'm not going to get in the way of God in that department.
Definitely. Over in 1 Timothy 3, in verse 8, since we are talking about deacons, it mentions there, as you brought up, Chip, and it says likewise, and we know that he's indicating another office just by the use of the word likewise, because he uses it again down in verse 11. In verse 8, he says likewise deacons, and in verse 11, he says likewise, and I'm using the New King James, it says their wives. Well, the problem with the text is that the word there, the pronoun, it's in italics. It's not in the text. The translators have added that. And as you mentioned, the word wives is the word gynikos for women, and it's translated that way in chapter 2, in verse 14, verse 12.
Wives,
Yeah, he's not talking about wives here, and it raises a question, too, as to the interpretation of this, because why would he mention the wives of deacons and not mention the wives of elders?
Well, how about the word presbytery? I mean, there we have in verse 14 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterances, which the laying on of hands by the presbytery. It's a word for elders.
Right, the eldership. It's very clear from Scripture that the qualifications that are given here, they're essentially the same, but only two notable characteristics. One is that the elders are to be skilled in teaching. It's not asked of deacons to be that, because that is not their ministry. Not to say that they can't never teach anything, but it's just saying that the ministry of elders is that of teaching.
And you don't have to be an elder labeled to teach. That's up to the elders of the church, whether they would have you teach, if that is your gift. But, I mean, again, we go right back to, if you're reading, let's say verse 11 of 1 Timothy chapter 3, women likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Okay, let's say this. Piano players of your church must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Sunday school teachers must likewise be dignified. Why can't you put these categories in there? Deacons must be husbands of only one wife. You know,
one woman men.
Yeah, not it's, you can have. There's biblical divorces that men have had where women have left their husbands, vice versa. That doesn't disqualify these people from serving these. There again, you have that perverted. He's divorced. He can't leave the church.
Well, you have people that will deal with that issue. In fact, the verse when it occurs in verse 2, with talking about a bishop or an overseer being the husband of one wife, the issue here is marital fidelity,
yes,
that he's faithful to the one wife that is his. It's not talking about divorce here in verse 2. In fact, divorce would probably be picked up later on when he talks about in verse 5, if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? And like you mentioned, there are biblical cases for divorce.
I'm going to tell you, as an elder of our church, if my family was awry, I would step down. And if it took years for my family to get in order, that's just so be it. That's what I would have to do.
Well, we've always said in the past in our family is that, you know, the family either makes us or breaks us, because that is our ministry.
Well, let's take my friend, for instance, that we've talked about. Okay, I'll go ahead and have this situation out there. We have a gentleman in a friend of ours in another congregation, desires to serve, desires to teach, but yet his marriage is in kind of a situation where the wife is the piano player in the church, yet there's been counsel and there's been open defilement of the love for her husband and degrading of the family. The family is broken, but yet she's continued and allowed to be able to play piano in the church. Well, like you said, he came to us for counsel. We went to these areas of commending him on his stand for the word, that he's pulling himself from teaching until his family is in order. Well, when brought to his shepherd told him he was being legalistic. Which just shocked me, because they're willing to allow a woman, which is this man's wife, to play piano when even this man's shepherd knows that she has made statements to him that has defiled the family and caused any man to doubt love.
And it raises the question, if you're not going to use 1 Timothy 3 to address people that do serve in the church, what are you going to use at that point?
Well, it's funny, because my friend is wanting church discipline done on him and his wife. And he's crying out for it, but there's no church discipline being done. He has clearly stated he is not perfect. He has sin within a relationship. He's confessed it. But yet she is blatantly living in sin and wants the church to confront his family. They're not exuding church discipline on her because they need a piano player. And there's a good question. When does church discipline come into play? When it may be our wives that have to be disciplined. When you have a husband crying for my family, discipline us, please. And the church is saying, whoa. But then again, this is a church that's not led on a plurality of
and plus, we're talking about, you know, problems that have arisen by the fact that we've really have messed up the structure of the church.
It all stems back to the structure
exactly.
of the church.
I mean, just going back to the story I shared earlier about division meetings, why are those happening? Because of the structure of the church.
If you got half of them kooks out of there, I'm sorry, half of them deacons out of there, I've served on a deacon panel where I blatantly came out and said, there's many men here that don't need to be in this position right now. I know their lives. I know their wives. Some of their wives were the biggest gossips in the church. Right there disqualifies you from serving in that position.
Definitely.
It's sad, but you know what? We don't have a pastor that's got enough hair on his back to stand up and take some of these positions away from these men because he's scared that some of the money bags will leave the church.
Or that he'll lose his job in the church.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
To be honest with you, I'd rather be run off for being faithful to the Word.
Well, I think that's happened, hasn't it?
Well, it's happened twice.
Times, and I've just been asked to leave because I've been too radical. So, you know, I didn't have the seminary or I didn't look how they wanted me to look. So I've just been kind of asked, hey, we can't have a church full of chips, so would you please mind?
Well, I've hung my tie up, so.
Yeah, right on. but, you know, I mean, we
I'm not surfing yet, so.
We deal with these issues because, you know, I think we've perverted what a pastor is to be. We've taken them and raised them to a level where they're not men anymore. I mean, you can't, not saying pastors can't live in sin and not be confronted, but we talk about issues at our church that you don't hear pastors openly talking about because, you know, it's just not proper.
Well, even now, what we're talking about on this program.
Yes, I
mean. You don't hear discussions like this. In fact, the discussions like this that we're hearing are occurring behind closed doors.
Are we coming against the world system of religion? Yes, we are. Within the Baptist circles, I was raised Assembly of God. If you can lose your salvation, then I go Baptist because I wanted something that was secure. But yet then, behind the walls of the Baptist church, it's just completely ludicrous what's going on.
Definitely.
And then you take an uneducated man like myself that just desires to do what the Bible says, and you're told that you don't have a clue what you're talking about, son. Son, you've got a lot to learn.
And all we're saying is, let's go back to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? Aren't we kind of doing what the Catholic Church was guilty of doing by keeping the Word out of the hands of the people?
Sometimes I feel like Martin Luther, about 200 pounds lighter, though, but I get so discouraged because I look to him, man, and he loved the church. When they destroyed it physically, he came against them saying, what are you doing? But yet I kind of don't disagree with those that destroyed it. Mm. They wanted to do away with, abolish what was going on.
The man-made traditions.
Tear it down and start over. I mean, if you run trim around a house, all you carpenters out there, wow, Jesus was a carpenter, so this ought to relate. You run trim starting at the door, face the door looking out, start at your left hand, run trim all the way around that house, and you be off just a quarter of an inch from the start. By the time you get to the right side of that door, when you're done that job, you're going to be off several inches. The only way to fix that trim in that house, you can either fix it where it looks fudged, use a lot of wood putty, make it look like it's been fixed trim, when really it's junk. Only way to fix that trim is to go right back to the very first piece that you started running and get it right. And that's where I feel, Steve, that we are. God has placed you and I here from different churches, from pretty much parallel lifestyles coming out of the world, which is just unbelievable, and giving us great men like John MacArthur. I know John MacArthur is not God, but John MacArthur knows how God thinks. He's a man that I respect highly. And just the way he has structured his church, how God has led him, it's awesome. We have churches here, Grace Community, Scott Christmas. We have many other. We were talking about, what was it, the Presbyterian Church?
Mm-hmm.
That is, I mean, they're right on, other than sprinkling baptism. But they're right on doctrinally. We even have some churches we've talked about, they don't even teach the hard doctrines of the Bible. They just stick with the gospel and the Great Commission.
Yeah,
it's sickening.
That was new last night to us when we heard that. But again, it's taken away. I mean, if you're not going to teach all the Word of God, then you're shirking your responsibility as a pastor in a church. We've got to teach through these issues. We've got to talk about these
and
issues.
If you're going to teach the least of the commandments, you're going to be the least in the kingdom.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's recap for just a moment before we take a break. We're talking today about elders in the church. We've already established that they are leadership. They are overseers. They are those that God has placed in the church to feed and lead and teach the flock. We've talked about Christ being the head of the church. He mediates his rule through godly men called elders. The deacons are the servants of the church who implement what the elders teach. And the congregation is called to submit and carry out their gifts.
And the church is not an organization made up of programs, systems, and methods dedicated to attracting money and members to itself. I don't care. God's programs don't do jack for you. The Bible does everything. Well, I mean, I could go on topic after topic. Why do we lie to our children and tell them Jesus had clothes on the cross? The humility of it was the fact that he was naked. Is that not proper for our children? Well, so you're saying the Word of God isn't proper for children?
Right.
I mean, why are we Noah's Ark, bathtub ark. Why do we do these things? We think we're helping God's word be a little more acceptable. Filthy rags, we know what that means.
Yes.
You don't hear that statement behind the pulpit, only because it may not be appropriate around mixed company. Well, you know what? What is mixed company if we're in unity? Under one belief that the Word of God is the Word of God. I didn't write it. It's the best dramatic book, the best murder, mayhem, anything. If you're going to make a movie, make it on the Bible. I guarantee you there's not a rating for it.
And, you know, speaking of that, we talk about applying the Word of God to every situation, but how come we're not applying it to the church when it comes to the issue of leadership? I mean, we want to have all kinds of people come in and the experts and talk about how to make a leader and things like that. Why don't we just go to the Word of God and look and see what He has right here? Just as you go through the book of Acts, because, you see elders and the plurality of that going over and over and over throughout the Scripture.
Men are thinking more highly of themselves than they ought to. They're taking their education. It's no different than the Colossians. They're taking their knowledge. Gnosticism is in our church. It's there. I didn't put it there.
Yeah, it's
our elders did, if that means older men. They don't You know what? We're transgressing the traditions. Yeah, you're doggone right we are, but we're not transgressing the commands. We're not transgressing the word. But doggone, I'll come against every tradition if it is that of a man that doesn't line up with the Word of God. Traditions are just that. Are they all bad? No. But hey.
Well, like the Word says, let God be true and every man a liar. We're going to stop right here and take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about this whole subject of leadership. Change by Grace, a 15-minute daily diet of the Word of God. Listen anytime at www.changebygrace.org. Have you received the latest free email devotional called Grace Moments? Each day, Grace Moments brings you the Word of God on a given topic or verse to start your day. Whether it's on how to come to Christ or how to restore your first love, you will be challenged to start your day with Jesus. Sign up today at our website, www.changebygrace.org. Once you sign up with your email address, you will begin receiving your free daily email on the following day. So to receive your free daily email devotional called Grace Moments, visit our website and sign up, www.changebygrace.org. Looking for a place to worship? How about a place where the truth is more important than how you feel? Change by Grace Community Church is an independent evangelical church, not affiliated with any denomination and non-charismatic. It is a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church standing uncompromisingly for the unchanging Word of God. It is an evangelistic church proclaiming the whole gospel of Jesus Christ through a Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching ministry. Come and hear the teaching of Pastors Steve Herford and Chip Merkel. We meet every Sunday at 9 a.m. for Bible study, 10 a.m. for worship, and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We're located in Jacksonville, Florida at 12041-3 Beach Boulevard, between St. John's Bluff and Kernan Road. For more information, visit our website at www.changebygracechurch.org. You're listening to a live broadcast of Change by Grace here on sermonaudio.com.
For those of us just joining, we'd like to welcome you. We're talking on the topic of church leadership. I'm Chip Merkel, one of the pastors here at Change by Grace Community Church, with my co-pastor, Steve Herford. And we're just kind of going through what the Bible says about leadership, and we are an elders-led church. That is how our church is governed. And for those that were listening before, I just want you to know we don't apologize for anything that is said, but we don't want you to misdirect our passion as anger or as meanness, because, again, we don't apologize for what we're saying here. We're very zealous about the truth, and we're very zealous about God's church getting back to how God's church is. You know, another question that just came to my mind, you know, before we left on the break, we said church is not an organization made up of programs, systems, and methods dedicated to attracting money and members to itself. One of the churches I just departed from was building a $5 million children's building, and it just was striking that some of the topics and some of the word that was used was out of context, was to bring all that you have into the storehouse so that we can build our church. But as I read my Bible in Acts, it was bring all that you have into the storehouse so that you can meet the needs of those that were within the body. So my challenge to you is, pastors out there, or whatever you want to label yourself as, if you're building $5 million buildings and you have needs, I'm not talking physical, self-felt, emotional needs of the flock. I'm talking serious financial needs. If you have someone living in poverty attending your church without a car, without somewhere to live, and you're building a $5 million building, telling people to bring their stuff within the church, stocks, bonds, jewelry, believe me, I've been there, I've heard this, but yet you've got needs that are still needing to be met within the congregation of your church. You, my friend, are in sin. They did not bring those things into the church to build bigger buildings. They brought them there in unity, which we spoke of earlier.
Yeah, in Acts chapter 2, they didn't even have buildings.
To meet the needs so that they had all things in common. And it's sickening that you're hearing pastors use it, much like when you walk an aisle. Deny Christ in front of men, he'll deny you in front of his Father. That's so out of context. We're perverting the word. We're doing no different than what the statement.
In fact, the proclamation was baptism.
Yes.
Not walking an aisle.
And let me tell you, I don't boast about being uneducated, but how can me, a 12th grade education, a father of six children, a blue-collar worker, come to Christ, he manifests his truth in my heart, my mind, gives me the gift of faith to believe in him, regenerates me, and all of a sudden my eyes are awakened to this? Yet you've got many scholastic, scholared men that are educated, leading flocks in this way. But why do I see it different? Am I just a rebel from way back? I'm not even a hippie. I was raised in the 70s. So I don't understand, how can a simplistic idiot, a buffoon, as I label myself as...
A privy pot.
Yes, a privy pot. How come I see this? Well, they don't. Is it because they're blinded?
Well, a lot of it could be tradition. I remember one church I was in, we just to take the order of service out of the bulletin was like ripping a page out of the Bible, because everything was so ordered by tradition, just like moving one chair off the platform was like you had committed adultery or something like that. The issue has to always be the Word of God, and it always has to be people, not building, not programs, not traditions, not any of these things, because the church is a living organism. And as elders in the church, we are to know the state of our flock. And that's how, as we were talking about earlier, about accountability, that accountability is brought into play by knowing the state of the flock and also by having a plurality of leaders. It's actually, we have accountability among ourselves. It's much easier to shepherd a flock with a plurality of men instead of just one man. How can one man know everything?
Well, it's like you've heard me say when I've preached in the pulpit that I'm against big church. I'm not against mega church. Mega church meaning big for the Lord, not big in numbers. Mega meaning awesome for God. But in a sense, you know, I've seen people fall through the cracks of big church. There's not even accountability within the governed structure of that in order to hold the large numbers accountable. So in a sense, I'm just, big church is a fine line to walk. It's a scary place to be, in a sense, because it takes serious, you better have your men meeting these biblical requirements, because then you can manage the people that you have, that God is. I'm going to say this, I don't believe God has given a lot of these people to these churches. I believe these people have entrapped them, lured them in, and now they've become members of this church without any type of investigation, without any, I don't praise God when somebody gets saved and immediately calling my brother in Christ. Until we do a blood check, you know, you mix A negative and B positive, you're going to die. So I don't rejoice fastly with those that say, wow, 500 people got saved. Immediately I say, where are the people that are going to disciple them? Where is the church led by a plurality of elders that's going to lead them?
This is probably a good place to share what is the membership process of our church and how elders do fall into this and how their responsibilities are fleshed out. Again, we're not trying to say that... You've got to be Superman to join our church, but you do have to be born again. And we want to do everything that we can to make sure that you are that and joining the church.
And we are not a perfect church. The sad thing is that shouldn't we have the desire of perfection? I mean, shouldn't we desire to run the race as to win a prize? So men are, in the physical sense, looking for a perfect church. They're building the perfect buildings. They're having little Robotrons out there to invite the kids in. They're actually having people from Disney come help with their churches. I've sat in places where they've said this. But yet we're desiring a perfect spiritual body. We're seeking, Changed by Grace is not a perfect church. We've actually been called a cult. which is awesome, because, you know, I'd rather be called a cult for the truth than I would rather be called a cult and actually be one.
Definitely.
You know, but it's we're desiring. Our desire is that of biblical structure, biblical leadership, which leads us right into what you were talking
and,
about.
And to do it all directly by the word of God, not by the word of men. When we have someone join our church, they will first make that known, and we'll give them an application for membership, which is 2 pages long. We would ask them to share their testimony on that application.
And we've already had people leave our church because of the application.
Yes.
We've had people leave our church because they don't want to adhere to the Scripture. We've had people that can't even answer who Jesus is, men that were saved at Promise Keepers, people that were saved at these big conventions. They can't even tell you who Jesus is. And then when you look at their testimony, it's very shallow. And what does Jesus say? You will know them by their fruits.
Right. So we have them fill this out. We have them go through all this process. And then one of our elders will meet with them and sit down with them and go over that application and give them a chance to verbally now share their testimony and to talk about their relationship to Christ.
If they can't answer the questions to us, they certainly can't answer them to a lost world, which is going to raise question of their faith, which is when the Jehovah's Witnesses come knocking on your door, it's going to definitely put a pry bar in the crack of your foundation. Mm-hmm. So what better people to ask these hard questions than the elders of the church,
right,
to the new members?
And backing up when we were talking about proclamation, it's not walking an aisle and professing Christ, but it was more baptism in the New Testament where they were professing Christ. Like in Matthew 3, when John the Baptist was baptizing, they came confessing their sins, telling their deeds.
And are we going to be deceived? Yes, we are, because
yeah,
we know that tares will grow up with the weed. Any plant my Father has not planted will be uprooted.
But we want people to understand that these issues that you're to manifest.
And we're on a wolf hunt. We want the wolves to be scared when they come in, because we are on a wolf hunt. It is a war. So you know what? You're doggone right, we're going to investigate you. If you look like a sheep and smell like a wolf, you're going to get confronted.
And we know it's possible that the wolves can get in. Paul said that in Acts chapter 19, that his biggest fear was when leaving the church at Ephesus that there would be wolves that would come in. He says that, actually it's Acts 20. And he says in verse 29, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." And here he's telling this to the elders of the church, that you've got to guard this flock. You've got to keep an eye on what's going on out there, because there are wolves that do want to come in and tear up the flock. We could shift this just for a moment into a subject going back to the one pastor church, where you have your committees that are the power structures of the church. You have your deacons that are the power structures of the church. I remember in the last church that I was at, which was the Southern Baptist Church, we had a staff, we had associate pastor, we had minister of music and things like that, but we didn't have an elder church. We didn't have an elder governed church. We were a congregationally governed church. And I even remember in a situation where we had a man leading a committee, had been there for 30 years, and it was all a power issue. And that was really where a lot of the struggles begin in that church. And again, it goes back to just like what we were talking about earlier, structure.
Well, I mean,
structure of elders.
We've
in the
even
church.
Been commented. I mean, you know, people have told me I'm too extreme. What I speak is not loving. And I would love for them to define that term. But every time I read in my New Testament, I was in the military. I was an airborne paratrooper, trained to kill. I mean, and you know, I didn't take that lightly. I was 18 years old, so I really wasn't as serious as I thought the military was going to be. But those drill sergeants that are training you have been to war, the majority of them. They have fought. They have seen death. So they're not playing games. So when my little surfer boy attitude came in there, I got straightened up pretty quick. I said, "Son, I'm not playing games with you. That I am training you for war. I am training you how to kill, how to seek out the enemy. We are to know our enemy so that we can kill them." Well, the word, I've been told that I'm a little too extreme, but every time I read my word, it says we are soldiers. We are to prepare for battle. We are in a war.
We are to know the enemy.
We are to know the enemy, and we are to snuff out and silence false teachings. Silence them. And how do you silence somebody? You call them out. You say their names. You say their quotes.
And like you said, what is love? Well, I would say love is doing all of those things. I mean, if I love you, then I'm going to tell you what you need to hear.
Timothy was told to be strong, 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, suffer hardships with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. This is telling me that the rules of war are to wake up and be serious. The rules of war are to engage the enemy. So, too extreme, right on.
Well, you know, there are many, quote, professing believers that don't realize that we are even in a war.
Yes.
Because maybe they're not in the Word. Maybe they're not in prayer or any of these things. So they don't sense that there's a battle. But we know every time you're in the Word, every time you're sharing the gospel with a lost person, every time you're in prayer, that there is a warfare going on. And like we said, you know, to truly love someone is to tell them,
yes,
and to love them with truth. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, in verse 6, that love does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. And our job is to, as believers, and we're not even talking from the standpoint of being elders in the church, we're just talking about from the standpoint of believers, we are to love the truth, and we are to speak the truth. And Paul tells us in Ephesians 4 to speak it in love.
And, you know, a lot of times you can't, you know, Jesus said that John the Baptist was the best man ever lived. I mean, you can't lovingly, politely, politically, correctly go up and say, please repent. That word rolls off the tongue like repent. When you say that word with authority, it sounds mean. Your ears do not hear the word repent lovingly. They do not, because if you are dead in your transgressions, when that word repent, it is either it's offensive either way, because that word is telling you that you must commit self-suicide.
So to say that you're not loving, does that mean that you don't speak with authority? I mean, Paul says in Titus chapter 2, in verse 15, he tells Titus, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no one despise you.
Well, I've heard that John MacArthur, when he was on Larry King, the thing that won, I think it was Madonna, to call him and to ask these questions was the authority in which he spoke on the sovereignty of God and the unerrant word of God. The authority in which he spoke is what made them uneasy. And they wanted to know about this authority. Who gives you this authority? What authority? It's leadership. God did. God's word is the ultimate authority. God's word is the standard. I mean, it's sad, man. I'm so passionate about this. But you know what? I know men that have come up under my walk that God has granted me to disciple that I'd say for 7 years are still walking strong with Jesus. I've got many seeker-sensitive friends that have fallen away from God with no discipleship.
Yeah, and when you want to hold, this is not true for all, but when you want to hold majority of them accountable, that's where they begin to desert and don't want that accountability.
We are in a scary state, the church is. And I'll say that generally, the church. Because if we are the body of Christ, we are the church. Christ being the head, we are sick. And there needs to be some surgery going on. My neat thing is before I would have a church grow, I would clean it out first. And I pretty much think that's what we've done. It's been neat. I mean, Steve pastored a church and I pastored a church. Ours was in a 3-car garage and Steve's was in a little shed outside of his house. Praise God, that's paid off now. Mm-hmm. But Steve is a seminary student. He does have the degrees. I don't. But yet God took two men from different sides of the city, 3-car garage and a shed, and brought us together. And you know what? Even when we came together, we cleaned house before we built house. And now, praise God, this is one of the most sound churches I've ever been in, not as to boasting anything but what Christ has done through discipline. God
through these things that the church has forsaken.
Yes. And we have some of the – let me tell you something, guys. We've had comments that never have they been to a church where there's more men than women. And let me tell you, here's the sad thing. We don't have any older men in their 60s. We have very few. We don't have any older women because I guess they choose to retire from Christianity and go get in their motorhomes and drive away from God on His earth. So I don't understand that. But, yeah, we're in a unique situation where we have between the age of 18, I would say to 30, That is the leadership of our church, and these are very godly, sold-out men. They're losing their jobs for Christ. Their parents are booting them because of the confrontation to their parents, not in any disrespect, but confronting sin within their household. It is awesome, man. And even our women, we have younger women. I tell you, it's just our structure, even at Change by Grace, we have no older women to teach the younger women, no older men.
So we've had younger women take up that responsibility.
Ooh, which is sad.
Yeah, it is sad, because Titus 2 talks about that. And, you know, where are the older godly women? Where are the older godly men? You know, again, like you said, the church is in such a sad state.
Well, when they come to our church, they see the look at some of our people, and it's not traditional. And they don't want to serve there. They can't get past the look. We have some very, what's the comment? Some of them so tattooed, they're dirty people, ugly people. But yet it's some of the most godly men I've ever met in my life that are out there fighting the war. Who cares what they look like? Who cares? Does Jesus? If you know the scripture, please tell me. He never, I know
he's
he did.
More interested in the inward.
There you go.
More interested in the heart.
The heart. Come on, he'll clean the outside up. But what if he chooses not to clean the outside up like you want it cleaned up?
Again, what's the standard?
Woo!
The standard's the Bible, the Word of God. And as we mentioned, that the church is in such a sad state, it can change, and it can change by going back to the basics, going back to the Word of God.
It's sad that when you go against the grain, it was when I became a true, radical, sold-out, Bible-believing Christian that I got persecuted from the church. Lost people, I don't have a problem with lost people. They listen to what I have to say. I can say repent. They either choose to or not. They don't give me a hard time.
Well, the problem is many believers aren't saying anything.
I didn't expect to get saved and come against the system which is bigger than me, the religious system of the church, the Baptist, the everything. I mean, it's scary.
Yeah, and it just doesn't stop there with Baptists. I mean,
it's everywhere.
And the only point of calling out names of denominations is where they went wrong, where there are problems.
Personal
right.
opinions, where
yes.
the churches I've been in. I mean, I don't care if you're one of the largest churches. I'm glad you're...
Whether you're an independent church.
Yes, I'm glad you're preaching the Word of God and the Gospel. But your church, I've seen churches where the structure is biblically off. And people say, well, it's no big deal. Well, do you have deacons? Yes, it is a big deal. The Bible doesn't say deacons hold the position of authority to lead the church. It doesn't say it.
And, you know, it's probably good to say this at this point, that you could go to the right structure of the church and have elders and have them govern the church and move away from that. And, yeah, definitely. Yeah. But you've got to make sure that you're addressing attitudes as well.
Well, you're more or less to have problems. I can guarantee you that, because we can rest on the Word of God whenever we do.
Definitely.
The way the Word of God says, what does He say? He always gives us a way out. Turn to God. Confess.
Yes.
You know, the thing is, we're not turning to God, and the devil will flee. We're just thinking he can flee on our power. There's the whole name it and claim it. And,
yeah.
You know, so, I mean, we're addressing a lot of topics here, and we're just speaking very passionately about where we want our church to go. And I know that we've covered a lot of issues, so I know that in the weeks to come, we'll kind of just hit on some of these topics. And a few of the topics that were coming up was Christian music, how commercialized it's become, and how the devil wards is a room full of million-dollar Christians there wanting you to send money for a cause. I don't understand that. Church discipline. Confrontation of sin with friends outside of your church. Do you use Matthew 18 when confronting a friend? How can you exude church discipline? You know, just other sheep coming to your council, not wanting to attend your church, but wanting the accountability. Many topics we're going to throw out there, and I pretty much am all over the place. I'm like a motorized BB.
Well, let me take a minute and summarize what we've talked about today, because we've talked about a gamut of things dealing with leadership, and we just kind of scratched a piece of the surface. And again, in the weeks ahead, we'll continue to cover topics like this and pertaining to leadership in the church. And we've mentioned today, what is an elder? An elder is a pastor. An elder is a pastor teacher. He's a teaching shepherd, according to Ephesians 4. And who is to govern the church? We're saying elders are to govern the church, not the congregation. The problem with the congregation governing the church, it's made up of three types of people. You have the saved, you have the lost, and you have those who are disobedient, those who are being chastened.
And it's not like we hide it from the congregation. We let them know our financial statement. We let them know what's going on.
Yeah, there's accountability for sure. And we do say that the accountability of the elders is to Jesus himself. And we do everything according to the Word of God, to show that accountability.
We're going to be held responsible for how we lead our flock. So all these churches, I'd love to see many of them shut down. But I just know that Christ is going to hold them accountable for how they're leading their flock. I'm not saying, I'm just, I'm not saying every church is bad, but the ones I've been in, the structure has been off, and I've seen it fall back onto the congregation, where I've seen the one sheet that goes off, and it tends that we don't care about that one sheet that's over on the edge.
And as we'll talk about in future broadcasts about easy believism being taught in the pulpit today, and the altar call syndrome, all that's being taken place there, how we're making false converts, and going back to just how we've tried to address this in the church, dealing with the issue of their testimony.
Well, why is it when we've been preaching, Steve, we've seen more people, we haven't been sheep swapping, we've seen more people get saved that said they've been in church 20 years, never received Jesus, and now we're seeing them grow like weeds on Miracle-Gro. And then they're questioning their friends, the church group they used to hang around, is persecuting them because they're saying, well, we're saved. You're saying you just got saved? Well, we've... So, hey, you tell me, man. The Word of God should cause you to question your salvation. When you're under sound doctrinal teaching, yeah, it's going to rub you the wrong way every stinking time.
And that's probably a good place to end it.
Without stinking, but hey, sin stinks, man.
It does.
And we need to confront it within the church.
Leadership and the church, an essential topic for today. Our study today has been called Church Leadership, Elders. If you would like a copy of today's program, it's available on cassette tape for $3 or on CD for $5. Call us at 904-651-3351 to place your order. Or you can send your request to Change by Grace, P.O. Box 26041, Jacksonville, Florida 32226. What is the purpose-driven church? What kind of impact is this concept having on the church today? Is the church for believers or unbelievers? There are many questions that surround what the church is to be and how it is to reach the unchurched. This month we're offering a special message on CD called Church for the Church. On this CD you will learn who the church is for and how we are to minister to the lost. We will gladly send you this CD this month when you support our ministry with a gift of any amount. To request your CD, call us today at 904-651-3351. Or you can send your gift to Change by Grace, P.O. Box 26041, Jacksonville, Florida 32226. Change by Grace is a listener-supported ministry. Your gift helps us to continue broadcasting on this station. Well, I'm Pastor Steve Herford, and I want to thank you for listening today to Change by Grace. To learn more about our ministry, visit us online at www.changebygrace.org, or you can call us at 904-651-3351.